I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive on a Wednesday. You just heard from D'Amico Ryans. We'll hear from C.J. Stroud a little bit later on in this hour. We'll also hear from our guy Brandon Scott in the 4 o'clock hour as another big game, right? We talked about this three-game stretch, and right now the Texans are 2-0 in this three-game stretch against playoff-level teams and the Chiefs, and they will go to Arrowhead, a place they have not had a ton of luck under D'Amico, and try to, I think, end the Chiefs season and really help add to their playoff chances coming up live primetime Sunday Night Football. We just heard from D'Amico, who spoke on a lot of things. And mind you, don't you ask him about last year or game management questions, because he don't want to hear it and don't want to talk about it.
You guys good? Right?
Yeah, baby. Last year was last year. I'm coaching this year's team. Damn it.
Whew.
All right? So don't even think about it. Anything jump out to you in what he talked about set up for this game coming up on Sunday?
Yeah, I think there's a lot there. I think, look, the reassurance, as he did last week with Will Anderson with the chest issue, and he kind of missed a couple of days of practice. I mean, this week it's Woody. It's Kamari and it's Will Anderson, all from an injury standpoint that are, you know, kind of throw up some red flags. The fact that he said, look, man, they'll be fine. We'll see how the week goes, but they'll be fine. That was reassuring, because those are three players that you desperately need. Obviously, one of your top corners, one of the best edge rushers in the game, and what I think is probably your most important player on the offense right now in Woody Marks. So that was good. I loved his response to about defending Kansas City speed. He ultimately got to a point where he said, you know what, we got speed also. I like that. The one concern I do have for this team, Ron, I got several, but one of the main ones that's out of their control is what's that weather going to be like in Kansas City? D'Amico played it well. He said, look, you got to be able to play in the cold. The mindset is you go out and you play for 3 hours. It shouldn't be a factor. I'm going to tell you, the weather is a factor.
35 is the high on Sunday, and that's probably around noon, 1 o'clock.
And this is a nighttime
game. 7:20 game, yeah. So I'd assume probably in the 20s.
You're looking in the 20s, outdoors in the elements. I don't care how tough or I don't care how tough you think you are. That's going to impact your team to a certain degree. Maybe not everybody. Maybe not your offensive lineman and your defensive lineman. But that's going to impact your team in some way, shape, or form. It's going to impact your game plan of what you can or can't do in some way, shape, or form. And it may be in severe fashion, depending on what the wind is like and what the elements are like. So that is a big deal. Now, D'Amico said the right things, but I think that topic, as this week goes on, Ron, I think we got to you know, we got to think and talk about that a little bit more. Maybe look back and see kind of how the weather. Maybe not the game where the Dolphins couldn't do anything and y'all's fans had toes and feet.
Yeah, it ain't gonna be seven below.
Yeah, no, it's not gonna be that. But that is gonna be a problem, and I think that is a big deal for the Texans being an indoor team. You know, that practices throughout the off season, and the main thing is dealing with heat and managing heat. And now all of a sudden, you got to go somewhere where the elements could be a major problem. I do think that changes the game significantly. Therefore,
text line coming through with that, playing in the cold or snow is great.
Yeah.
After first few minutes, you don't really think about it unless you're in Buffalo or Green Bay blizzard. If you can't see 2 to 3 yards in front of you, offense will have an advantage.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with that. I don't know if
you played in it.
I played in some cold weather. I will agree that it's not as bad for everybody as maybe just a torrential downpour or something like that. But when that ball gets hard, I think it impacts quarterbacks a lot of how you can grip the ball. I think there's a reason that Tom Brady was letting air out of the balls up in New England. And so it changes from a quarterback's perspective. You want to talk about that getting that quarterback center exchange is totally different. The handing a rock off to a running back, all that ball handling stuff is totally different. The way the ball hits your hands when you're a receiver or a pass catcher is totally different. You know, whether I'm not saying it's a huge negative for the Texans. I'm just saying it changes the game. I mean, it changes what you can and can't do and how you approach a game. And so we'll see how guys respond to that. We have no idea how Woody Marks is going to respond to it. We have no idea how Higgins is going to. Now, Higgins playing at Iowa State probably played in some cold, but it's different. It's a different animal. So I do think that is something to keep an eye on.
You would think the Texans are kind of built defensive team, hard-hitting team, a team that ball control type of team. They should fare okay with it. But, yeah, this will be definitely the coldest game they've played in and the coldest temperatures they've been in this season. So that is some to look at. D'Amico Ryan speaking to the media a little bit earlier ago. He was on the coach's show the other night. As we say, every Monday you ought to be listening to D'Amico Ryan's The Coach's Show. One of the first times you hear from him after he's watched the film of the previous game. This was him talking about the keys to the win against Indy, but then he started to talk more about C.J. Stroud. And to me, Clint, when I hear this, I think this is a real dilemma, and you probably know it as well as anybody, that he's got to juggle being C.J. Stroud the rest of the way. Here was D'Amico talking about his quarterback after the Indy game.
I thought CJ's first game back, he stepped in, did some really, you know, good things with the football, finding a lot of different receivers. He did a really nice job of managing the game. Like I said yesterday, there's some throws he probably won't back. And that's also the rust from being out for 3 weeks. That happens. But I felt like he also grew in a sense where he had some, as I call them, sack saver plays where the defender is on him and he just dirted the ball. Like he's growing, he's making good decisions, and he's continuing to progress and get better. So I'm excited for where he started, and now looking forward to this next week to see how much of a step he can take.
See, when for a guy that's as young as he is, Clint, he has got to be able to juggle. All right, I know what kind of team I got. I know what kind of defense I have. I got to throw some balls in the dirt. Maybe there's a feel, because I think his natural feel, Clint, is I'm gonna go make a play. And we see it from time to time. I'm going to go make a play. But many times with this team and how it's set up, hey, kicking is all right. Punting is all right. Kicking a field goal is all right. You know, but also, Clint, I do think they need him to make plays. Like, he's got to juggle the, at 23 years old, juggle, all right, is this the smart time for me to go and take a risk, as you would say, or how should I play this? I think moving forward, the way this team is built, because they do have a chance to make a run, the way this team is built, CJ's decision-making in the moment of when to really take a risk and be the guy to make the play for the team or to be the one to, as he said, sack-saver plays, throw the ball in the dirt, throw the ball away. And we saw a little mix of it in the game on Sunday against the Colts. But I'm listening and I'm thinking, boy, that is something that he has to deal with very young for what this team needs. They need both of it from him.
Yeah, look, I know a lot of people get sideways when you talk about the Mills and the Stroud deal. I mean, the one thing that Davis Mills did was Davis Mills managed risk very well. Now, I don't know if that's just he's better at it or if it were just happenstance, but when you watch Davis Mills film, it was like if somebody was open underneath, the majority of the time he was getting the ball to him. If there was a shot there to take, even if he missed it, the ball was going to the right spot. And when he did take a risk on first down, he had the wherewithal to come back and go, okay, I don't want to hold the ball now. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to get myself into a third and five or less. Right? He managed the risk associated with playing the quarterback position. He managed it really well. Right? Now, that's exactly what you're talking about is CJ's got to learn. And he's not bad. I'm not saying he's bad. He does a pretty good job. But this offense is predicated on you being elite at it, right? This offense is predicated on you being able to do it in your sleep for four quarters and doing it at an elite level. And so I think this offense, and I think CJ's fit in this offense, which ultimately is going to take you. You're only going to go far. I know this defense is great, but you're only going to go as far as CJ can take you. His fit in this offense and ultimately winning in the playoffs is going to come down to his ability to manage the risk, right? And managing the risk is knowing when to take those shots, when to hold onto the ball, also knowing when, hey, right now ain't the time. And the bigger part of it is be willing to go, okay, I know I got this one-on-one shot outside, but it's second down and 10. I need to get us into a third and short. I don't need to take this low percentage throw, or I don't need to hold the football and wait for this route to get all the way across the field at 24 yards deep at the other side. Like, I don't need to do that. I need to get us into a third and four. Like, knowing how to manage that, I believe, is the biggest factor for CJ in this offense.
But, yeah, but when you look at, like, the next couple of games, like, hell, you know, maybe the Raiders game or the Cardinals game, you know, hey, you got to have a different mindset maybe.
Yeah.
But in this game, maybe Sunday, like there's got to be a thought of, I got to make some plays. Like, I think they're going to need CJ to make some plays.
Well, I think thing is, though, Ron, the game's got to dictate that. Like, he can't go into it thinking I got to go make plays. Like, I don't think they want him to, and I don't think this offense asks him to. Now, if the game dictates that you do, then the play calling changes, the aggression changes.
So in your mind, you don't think like, all right, man, we're playing the Chiefs.
No.
We're playing we're playing certain teams where, hey, man, we know field goals ain't gonna work. Like, I've got to make some plays for my team.
I don't think there's any opponent on this schedule. I don't think there's any opponent they're gonna face in the playoffs. I don't think it's what this offense is designed to do. I think it now, again, if the game dictates it, Seattle jumps out to a 14-0 lead. Hey, man, we know at some point we're going to score some points to catch back up with these guys. We may want to change how aggressive we are. Now, I don't think this. I think the whole sole focus going into these games until the game dictates you do something else is be smart. Stay ahead of the chains. What we've heard repetitively over time. Say, like there's just, if you do take risk and you do make a, you know, you take a shot down the field, okay, pull the reins back a little bit and understand we got to get this thing back in front of the chains and we got to give ourselves a chance. I think everything is going to come back to, I don't think anything other than the scoreboard, I don't think anything with this defense is going to dictate go out and make plays. Go out and be a playmaker. I just don't.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know. I just think it's a tough. However, I think it's a tough thing to negotiate for a young player in your mind of like, all right, how do I play this? I know for the most part. Hey, punts. Like, it's easy. All right. Hey, man, it's 17-3. Right, that's easy.
Yep.
But like, hey, man, it's tight. It's close.
First
it's,
half. Yeah, tight game. Yeah.
You know, like. God, do I try to stick this into Nico, or do it like when is the because I think this team needs both from him. This team needs him to be smart and not put him in situations where he kills him. But they also, I think, need him to go and make some plays.
But it's you're right. You're, I mean, they're at some point. The thing is, can we trust you to call a shot? And if it's not there, you check it down. Can we trust you to call a shot. And if it is there and you throw it and we miss, the next play call, can we trust you to be responsible and get us back ahead of the chains? Right? It can't be just come to the line of scrimmage and every time that they roll down to a certain coverage, we're going to hold the football and we're going to wait for this corner right, or we're going to wait for this double move right, we're going to wait for this deep crosser. Now the defense is dictating you holding the ball. Like it's not don't take shots. It's managing
picking and choosing
the situation. And that is what young quarterbacks struggle with. It's what this offense demands, and it's what this offensive staff has always been preaching to the quarterback. It's less about how high your ceiling is and how big of a playmaker you are, and it's more about managing the situation and managing the offense.
And even more with how they want to play ball and how this team is currently built. All right, someone text in, Clint's right on the money. Someone in just text in, nope, CJ needs to be more aggressive. All right, coming up as we continue. There it is, baby. One side to the other. A little stock up, stock down on a Wednesday. You can text yours in. Who's for the Texans got your stock up? Who's got your stock down?
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. At DSW stores or DSW.com.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes of network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
We'll do that coming up next.
Sexiest show in Houston right there, baby.
Tootski, come on.
Every football season brings highs.
Yes! Rock and roll!
And lows.
Every week, though, there's no excuse for that.
Oh, no.
It's time to buy or sell.
I tell him to sell!
It's Texan Stock Up, Stock Down on The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I'm going to pump those numbers up. Those are rookie numbers in this racket.
Yes, sir. Lately, we've been having some wet Wednesdays. Not today, though.
That's right.
By the way, Thirsty Thursday will be on a Thursday. That is tomorrow at Buffalo Wild Wings in Spring. We'll get you that address a little later on because we got stocks to get to. We do it every Wednesday on The Drive. Do our best Wolf of Wall Street impression. We talk these Texans. And it is week 14 for the Houston Texans. They're heading to Arrowhead to take on the Chiefs. That's what we're discussing with Stocks today. We're on the show, Hughley. As I'm known to do, I want to get the negatives out of the way. Stock down for you, Ron, as the Texans head up to Kansas City.
I'm going to go stock down. I'm going to go Jalen Noel. Jalen Noel, I don't know what's happened. There was a moment where we thought he may take off and be a part of this team more. I don't know if he's practicing poorly. I don't think that's the case. But the last three games, my man got 2 catches for 16 yards. Last three games, 2 for 16. He's not even getting to Applebee's yet.
I forgot about that analogy.
And he's got 1 carry for 5 yards.
Applebee's has rats!
He seems to be the definition of stock down. It seems like his... Whether it's him or just the decision that they're going in a different direction, he went from arguably being the big play guy for the offense in the middle part of the year there to just non-existent and not getting a lot of snaps, not playing. He has become the punt returner is what he has become. So Jalen Noel, who I thought at one point – you know, Higgins, he was the one, the rookie receivers that was showing a lot of promise, and now he's just not a major part of this offense. I'll go Jalen Noel.
That's a good one. The return game is awfully nice, but that's a good one. It's just like you just can't put your finger on why. You know what I mean? Boy, you'd think he'd be a bigger player.
I'm not even blaming it on him. It just isn't.
Agreed. I mean, every time he gets an opportunity, he makes plays. It's just the reality of it is it's not – people aren't able to see that often enough. I'm going with tough this week, to be completely honest with you, because there's some pretty good stuff going on both sides of the football. But it came down for me between Henry Toa Toa and Blake Fisher. And I'm going to talk about Blake Fisher a little bit later on, so I'm going to go with Henry Toa Toa. I think Henry is doing fine, but it seemed like last week when we lost Azeez Al-Shaair for a few plays, it seemed like EJ Speed slid over into that communicator on the defense, which is who Henry Toa Toa was last year. Now, that may be, which I would think is the decision I would make, the move I would make is let Henry just keep doing business as planned, and you move EJ into where he gets more reps and he's the vocal part of it. But based on what I know, last year, that was the guy that moved to the middle. That was the guy that was a communicator. Last year, when they were healthy, they were the main two backs. Now you have they're trickling EJ Speed in there some for Henry Toa Toa. So I'm going to go stock slightly down for 39. Not a major deal, not a worry, not a big concern, but I'm having a hard time finding one, and I'm going to go Henry Toa Toa 39 stock down.
It is stock up, stock down live on the drive. Do it every Wednesday right around 3:30 p.m. Got the Texans heading to the Chiefs. We got the negatives out of the way. The stock downs are done with. Time to focus in on that positive. Best part of the segment. We're on the show, Hughley. Texans, Chiefs, Sunday Night Football. Stock up for these Texans in your eyes.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of places you can go. I see people texting in a lot of places where they're going. As I see our guy Ocho has Higgins as his stock up. A lot of places you can go. I'm going to go Jalen Petrie. Jalen Petrie, who has missed, he's the other one. We know that CJ missed several games. Jalen Petrie also missed several games with the concussion, and he ain't playing no games, baby. He got that protector on his helmet. I don't blame him. Why not? But we all know what his bugaboo is and what his definite flaw is in his game. And I'm telling you, there was some concerns of, ooh, boy, he's Josh Downs and him in the slot. That's a concern. That's the best I've ever seen Jalen Petrie since he's been here in coverage. He made big-time plays in coverage. He was really, really good. Now, Josh Downs made a couple of plays, and they weren't all on him. But there were big moments where you could see there was a big third down that he broke up. Where he was step for step with him in the slot with a two-way go. So Jalen Petrie, for what he was able to do in terms of being in coverage, which has definitely been an issue for him since he's been here, I was very, very impressed Sunday in a tougher matchup with Josh Downs. They sometimes slide other receivers in the slot, and I thought Jalen Petrie was really, really good.
Yeah, I mean that's a good one. That's a good one. On my stock up T, I'm going to go with Miles Bryant. I don't know that his stock's ever been higher. The head coach is going in there talking about he's the most trustworthy, dependable player on the defense, and if he's going to put anybody in there at any position, it's going to be Miles Bryant. And then you look at kind of how he's been challenged. I mean, we're going through safeties, whether it's by choice or by injury, we're going through safeties left and right. Miles Bryant, I think, makes them comfortable with whether it's injury or having to part ways with guys. I think Miles Bryant makes him comfortable knowing that, hey, if Jalen Petrie's out, which knock on wood, hopefully he's not anymore, but he was with the concussion, boom, Miles Bryant jumps in there. I think his ability to play multiple positions, play to do some Jalen Petrie type stuff of, in terms of bailing back into coverage and rolling down and playing around the line of scrimmage and playing a nickel defender and kind of helping them disguise some things. I think he's done a tremendous job with that. And so I'll be honest with you, I don't know if there's a stock higher right now, or maybe not higher, but one that has climbed as much as Miles Bryant has this year. This defense has not missed a beat. And like I said, they've been through several safeties and they've spent time without one of the more vocal players, one of the better players, one of the best players in the defense, Jalen Petrie. And he's played a part in filling in for every one of those guys at one time or another. So I'm going with Miles Bryant on that defense, man. Stock up. Stock through the roof right now.
Both in the secondary. You ain't lying, though. I mean, it seems like DeMeco can't wait to start talking about Miles Bryant.
Yeah.
And everything he brings to the table. And he has been big, yeah. Right?
Well, with
he
the
lost another safety.
Yeah, with the Reed injury this week, I mean, shoot, here we go again. Back in the mix.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good for him, man. He has played well, take advantage of his opportunities. All right, as we continue, let's head back to NRG when we come back and hear from the quarterback, C.J. Stroud. He's a big point of conversation this week, fresh off his first game back against the Colts and back to Kansas City to face Patrick Mahomes. C.J. Stroud coming up next.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
At house.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, let's head out to NRG. Let's hear from the quarterback, C.J. Stroud. Who I think has to have a big game on Sunday. C.J. Stroud, as he speaks to the media.
C.J., in terms of building on your first game back, what are some things you think you can do even better going forward in this game against the Chiefs?
I mean, all around, there's always things you want to clean up. So just communication, execution, you know, all the little things, footwork, you know, ball placement, I always can, you know, tweak things and get better. So I'll just get better as the weeks go on.
On the other side against Patrick Mahomes, and do you guys think you have any kind of fun buddy rivalry or anything like that?
I mean, it's always cool to go play in KC, you know, against, you know, that team who's, you know, been really great for the last couple of years. I've been a fan of, you know, Pat for a long time, and just he's a heck of a player, and it's just really cool, you know, being about 5 years ago I was in high school, you know, watching, and then, you know, now you're competing against those guys. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't really think we have that. I don't really know him too well, you know, but I think, you know, he's a heck of a player. And anytime you get to share a field, you know, some legendary guys, you know, and you just try to gain their respect and, you know, move from there.
What's cool about playing in KC?
Just the environment, how loud it is, you know, the crowd, and, you know, their fans are, you know, always talking crazy and, you know, saying some crazy stuff. So, you know, it just makes it more fun.
Obviously played in the cold a lot in college, but you've been here a long time playing in a dome. Not a long time, but a few years. Is there any challenges to playing in a cold environment when you haven't been used to it in a while?
Nah, I think I'm still kind of used to it. I mean, it wasn't that long ago to where I was playing, you know, in the cold. So I try my best, you know, to stay warm, but, you know, it's, I don't really think it really – I mean, for some guys maybe, but I'm grateful that I went to Ohio State and played in some of those environments.
Where players, like, put on, like, petroleum jelly or Vaseline on to keep warm when it's real cold. Like, did y'all have – at Ohio State, did y'all have any – weird ways to keep warm, or even here when y'all go to the cold?
When I was at Ohio State, we weren't allowed to like really do that type of stuff. But when you live in the cold, it doesn't make it like when you're playing in it, it's kind of not as bad. And on the bench, you're fine because you have the, you know, the heaters. But the one thing that's hard is like TV timeout to like, you know, just sitting out there is when it gets kind of colder. And then warm ups is always hard. But once you get past that, it's kind of, you know, in your playing, it's kind of normal as long as it's not like super windy. But I don't have any like, and plus I think I mess up my grip for the ball. So,
dude, with their front, what are some of the things you see from Karlaftis and also Stone Cold? Have a follow up.
Who?
What do you see from Karlaftis and Stone Cold Jones?
I didn't know that's what people call them. That's what people call him.
Oh yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah, he's a heck of a player, man. He's a legend. He's a Hall of Famer guy. He's really good. Karlaftis, somebody I played against in college, you know, played against last year, really good game against last year. So, you know, we got to be, you know, really good up front. We know that every game, you know, the better we establish the line of scrimmage, you know, the better, you know, we play as an offense. So, be good for us.
I follow up with D'Amico was talking about Coach Spags and some of the things that he will draw up. What are some of the kind of things that makes him a little bit unique as a defensive play caller?
Yeah, I mean, he gets really creative with his blitz packages and his personnels, and he has some really talented guys on the outside, you know, where they could, you know, mix spots. Some of them can be at nickel, go play corner, play safety, be at corner, play safety, or, you know, and then, you know, Trent McDuffie is one of the best in the league, and he's been doing it for a long time. So, you know, I think Spags, somebody I have a lot of respect for, and does a really good job of, you know, making it hard on you.
DJ, one of the things that doesn't get highlighted enough is the way that the wide receivers blocked on last week. I think it was Hutch and Kirk who helped on those two, on the reverse and on Chubb's run. In this offense that you all play, how important is that to have those wide receivers to be able to block with?
Yeah, it's really important. You know, it's just a testament to, you know, those guys and how much they care about the teammates and how bad they want to win, you know, because you can have the opposite where, you know, guys are just, you know, not trying to block and, you know, running around it. But I think every single guy we have, you know, from top to bottom in our receiving room, you know, wants to do, you know, their job at the highest ability, and, you know, blocking is a part of that. So I think, you know, that springs, you know, our guys to get more yards and, you know, makes our run game even more efficient. So I think it's dope, and I love to be a part of that. And maybe one day I'll be out there blocking too. But Davis got a block against the Buffalo, which I thought was good.
Having played against the Chiefs like twice in the past year already, and there, is there anything that you feel like y'all can take away from those games that apply to here?
Yeah, I mean, like, Spags is a heck of a DC. Somebody, you know, who, you know, knows what he's doing, knows how to get his guys in one-on-ones, and, you know, messes with your protection rules and things like that. So, I mean, you got to just be alert for that type of stuff. And I just think, you know, scoring in the red zone, you know, scoring touchdowns is going to be big. That's every week. But I think even up there, you know, we made it to the red zone a couple times and, you know, didn't punch in seven. So I think that got to, you know, be a goal of ours, is to do that better. I think that some things that I can take from last year's game.
Are you personally more eager to go for it on fourth down? Do you think your offenses and just playing Kansas City impact how you guys attack fourth down decisions, do you think?
Not really. I'm good with whatever, you know, whatever coach decides, or, you know, the guys up top. So whenever my number's called, I try to make the play. But, you know, if not, I trust, you know, the decisions that we go with. So.
They have a lot of offensive lines. Why is this unit really clicking and playing as good as they have all year, you think?
I mean, a lot of talent, I would say, I guess. And, you know, a lot of guys finally, you know, getting the offense, getting the scheme. got some guys who, you know, have some experience up there. So just a multitude of those things. And, you know, I think Tay has really settled in, you know, knowing how he wants to play and, you know, how to play in the NFL is a little different than college. I think he's done a good job at that. And then, you know, the rest of the guys have been solid all year, you know, and plugging in, playing. Titus, you know, I think he's having a Pro Bowl year in every position he's been playing. And so, you know, Big Trent coming in there doing his thing. And then, you know, Ed, you know, coming back off injury, you know, doing really well up there, moving guys, has some crazy blocks. And then, you know, Jake, you know, being super great with communication and then, you know, working to tail off each play to, you know, get his job done. So I think it's a multitude of effort, you know, talent, and then, you know, experience. And I think that's why they're doing pretty good.
The franchise, you guys have been up there many times and has always gone the Texans' way. Do you guys feel like this team, this edition of the Texans, is built for that environment, maybe a little better, confident, all those kind of things?
Yeah, I would say every game you go in, you know, expecting to win and wanting to win. And I think it all goes back to preparation and is how confident you walk in those stadiums. So, you know, our preparation just even has to be even better than last week because every game gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So it's exciting times, and I think, you know, everybody knows that and knows what's at stake. So it's just, you know, trying to rise up to those levels and, you know, you going want to know every play.
You mentioned after the game that Charlotte had all his identity offensively. Do you feel like there's anything that y'all are still trying to unlock offensively, or are y'all just trying to, at this point, master what you've already kind of found at this point?
I mean, probably both, like, more so on the side of mastering what we're doing. But every week, you know, you have game plan ideas, and, you know, you got to just try your best to execute at the highest level because you're not going to get a bunch of practice reps at them, which is something I'm kind of used to, you know, being, you know, in Coach Day's offense in college. But I think now, you know, we're doing a little bit of both, which is really cool. So I think, you know, mastering, you know, what we've been doing is, you know, how you stay on the field, you know, execution on third down, you know, those type of things, you know, is mastering the offense. So a little bit of both.
This might be hard to choose from, but what is the best thing about Nico Collins as a player?
There's a lot of things. I mean, as a player, I mean, there's a bunch of things as a teammate that I think, you know, stands out to me. But as a player, I would say, you know, I would say routes, man, like, and how fast he is. I think people don't realize how fast Nico, you know, gets up and gets down up the field. So, but I think his route detail is, you know, gone up to, like, to the roof since I've been here. Just, you know, the work that he's put in, you know, to get to his depth and, you know, do the right things. And then, of course, his yards at the catch ability is amazing. So, but I think it really starts with his speed and, you know, establishing, you know, his dominance down the field of being a deep threat, but also, you know, being dominant in the short game as well.
Did you win any bets with him this weekend?
Nah, we didn't bet.
Your completion percentage under pressure is at a career high right now. Is there anything about your approach or this offense that's allowed you to have success under duress?
I mean, I would say, you know, the guys outside, you know, getting to their depth and running detail routes, you know, is a big part of that. And then up front, you know, getting the IDs right and just knowing who I'm hot off of or knowing the situation as best as I can. So I would say it's a testament to that. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just try to, you know, make a play.
Ohio State question. We talk a lot about Ohio State receivers, and Brian Hartline's name always comes up. What's going to make him a good head coach, and how impactful is he as someone who was there with him?
Is there something I'm missing?
No, he got a head coaching.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he finally got a head coaching.
Where to?
He's going to South Florida.
Oh, dope. Yeah. Oh, congrats, Hart. I didn't know that. That's cool.
He's going to coach throughout the play.
Yeah, of course. Man, Hart's somebody who played the position, play at a high level, you know, play in the league. And he knows how to relate to everybody. And I think what's cool about Hart, he doesn't, like, fake who he is. He's going to be who he is, you know, through everything. And he's really one of the main reasons that I went to Ohio State. He recruits at a very high level and knows what to say, how to say it. But is always honest. And that's something that I appreciate him for is, you know, his honesty. So I think he's going to do great. And I can't wait to see, you know, him, you know, flourish as a head coach. And, yeah, I think he's going to be amazing. I can't wait to see it.
Cody, did Kate ask you for any tips or advice on taking snaps?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Were you able to offer him some advice for that role in that situation?
What do you think?
is he a good student?
Yeah, I mean, I've been around Kay since I've been 18 years old, you know, so like he listens to almost everything I tell him to do, and vice versa, like, that's my brother, man. If he tells me to jump off the bridge, it's probably for a good reason, so I will go do it.
You guys were really good at getting games out, same like points last year, up to this year. It was kind of wonky, but now you guys kind of got high. Finishing and closing games, what do you think has been the biggest reason to allow you guys to kind of close the deal lately? And what does it mean to kind of get that swagger back in closing games?
I would say just scoring touchdowns in the red zone is probably the biggest thing, and you know, being able to do it, you know, at a high level. And I think, you know, even on Sunday, there's a lot of things we could have fixed there. Like, we missed probably two down there. And I think that, because it's never just the last drive or last play, or, you know, it's always, you know, plays before that. So just cleaning those things up. And sometimes it doesn't work out that way. So there's times in the last 2 years where we've been great at winning close games where probably should have lost, and something happened to where we didn't. We end up finding a way to win. And so when it doesn't happen, you don't change anything. You keep the process, and then the production comes as you keep going. So I think that's something that we're going to do and have been doing. So I just keep that going, because every game in the NFL usually comes down to one score, and it's just all about execution at that point.
All right, that's Texans quarterback C.J. Stroud. Damn, it's good to be hearing from the starting quarterback again now that he's healthy, boys. And
God bless, brother.
Yeah, you too, C.J. Stroud, you too. It's good to hear from him. It's good that he's in good spirits. It's good to have him back on deck and behind the center for these monster games. And that's where I want to go with this. How big is this game against the Chiefs in Arrowhead Stadium for the Texans' playoff chances? And are we talking enough about one of the injuries that we're hearing about on this Texans team? This guy means more than I think we're giving credence to. We'll discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.